I think the most important thing that I always try to encourage pitcher and try to encourage position players is that, like, talk to somebody when you're doing great.
Yeah.
Let them know how do you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, physically, what are you thinking? Because sometimes, you know, when you get lost in the game of baseball, you don't get lost physically. You get lost mentally.
You lost, too. Like, you're like, what?
You know, mentally, you're
it's
like,
gone.
Wow, I got to play tonight. I mean, I don't even know what the hell is going to happen.
That shit is gone, bro. So, I'm telling you.
But when you share those moments with your friends or somebody that you really, you know, like and want to share that moment. So when you get lost, that person can bring you back.
What's up, everybody? We're back, R2C2. And I just got to say, like, this guy, obviously, you know, I was disappointed, you know, not getting to the World Series, losing Game 7, whatever. But seeing him at the end of Game 7, he's searching for his family. He's crying. I'm sitting in my bed. I'm crying. I'm like, this is my guy, man. I'm excited he's here.
That's an awesome story and a fantastic intro for Carlos Beltran. Thank you for being with us, Carlos.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Your buddy's here.
Yeah, man. Excited.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Of course.
You know, one of the things that we were just talking about, Carlos, is like your connection with young players. And I know, like, you take on that role all the time now, CC, especially with pitchers. Mm-hmm. And like Carlos, I've seen it mm-hmm. with hitters. Like, I'm wondering, what was your observation of like seeing Carlos in that role in his 3 years with the Yankees?
Yeah, it's not just hitters, it's pitchers and everything, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody comes to him, you know. He's just one of those guys that, you know, he wants to share his knowledge. He's got a lot of it, you know, hitting and pitching wise. If you're a good hitter, you can talk pitching, you know what I mean? So I think everybody can sense that, and he's like open about it, you know what I mean, and wants you to, you know, wants inviting to come in and talk to him.
Yeah, it's a passion. I think for me, being around the game for such a long time, you know, it's important, you know, as a veteran guy to go a little bit to their size and establish a relationship with the younger guys. You know, sometimes younger guys are a little bit intimidated by the veteran guys, and sometimes they feel like they're bothering us, you know. But it's not like that, you know. If we're in the team, we're there, you know, we're on the same boat. You know, we want to win, we want to get better. So, you know, the fact that God gave me the opportunity to be in the game for a long time and learn the game, so that's why one of the reasons that where I kind of like try to share my knowledge, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I was talking to you before, and I was telling you that baseball is about relationships. It's about, you know, getting to meet people and getting to establish new relationships in the game. So the fact that I got to play with so many great players in the game of baseball, I feel very fortunate about that.
You were telling me a story before about Alex Bregman that I thought was awesome. Yeah. First of all, I watch this dude and I'm like, yo, he is filthy.
He's a stud, man.
Right? Like, yeah. Just the way he picks it over at third.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that Game 7 ALCS play he made throwing out Greg Bird and his fast self at home plate. But Bregman, he can pick it, man.
Yes, like, sir.
But you were telling a story I thought was amazing, just showing his love of the game, yes, about him just trying to soak it all up from you.
Well, you know what? Last year, having the opportunity to play with the Astros and the young team, I got to be around so many talent guys that are going to be in the game for such a long time. They're going to be impact players, all those guys. Bregman, you know, Gurriel, Carlos Correa, Altuve. I mean, those guys are going to be great to watch, you know, for a long time. So Bregman is a guy that wants to know about the game of baseball. And I always like to talk about the game. And after the games, I went to my room, opened a bottle of wine, and invite few guys that wanted to talk about the game, and they came, and Bregman was the one always calling, hey, Carlos, what are you doing tonight? And I said, I'm drinking wine and talking baseball. And he's like, can I go? And I said, yeah, come on. And, you know, every time he came, he was hungry. Like, he wants to learn. He wants to be better, not only hitting, but defensively. How can steal a sign? How can get better? How can see tipping on pitching? You know, and next day, when I show up to the ballpark, he was the first one at the ballpark, like, waiting for me. Hey, show me this. Who's pitching tonight? What is this guy tipping? Or does this guy do something tonight where I can take advantage? So that type of mentality, it was the one that I have. But I was very quiet. So he's very outspoken, you know. So being a veteran guy and having a teammate that is so hungry about the game of baseball, I mean, that for me was like he made my year. him and Correa, man, because Correa is like extremely talented and also wants to know about the game of baseball.
Early in spring training, I talked to Mac probably 2-3 times a week.
Brian McCann, yeah,
texting or call whatever, and he loved Bregman like right away. That was the first person he told me about. So when we played him early, he brought him out. I came out early. We met and stuff. So. Everybody just raves about, how good of a player he is and how he wants to be great.
Yeah, he wants to be great.
And the way, he goes about it.
And I think fans, love hearing about those guys, too, who respect those who have done it, like UC or like you, Carlos, and who legitimately want to soak it up. Like, that's not window dressing. He wants to learn, right?
That's the right mentality, in the game of baseball. I think in baseball, it doesn't matter if, you're young, you're old. You need to have an open mentality of wanting to learn something. I saw CeCe pitching, in the postseason this year, and I was watching him, and I'm like, I got to face CeCe when he was throwing freaking gas.
Yeah. 98 on the corners.
Right, gas, here we go, one fastball, another fastball, another fastball. And now, he got the cutter. So he made few adjustments in his career. That's why his longevity in the game of baseball, he got to this point because he was able to, I don't want to say reinvent himself, but basically learn how to pitch with his abilities, and mentality, the experience. That's something that is huge in the game of baseball. I was able to play 20 years, not because, I couldn't run like I ran early in my career. But I think my knowledge for the game, my mentality to approach the game in a different way and embrace that I was not that player, that I was this player. So that's something that is amazing. So I touched him right away. I said, brother, what an amazing game you pitched in New York. That was, freaking – I love it. I really love it. And I was on the other side. But I love
it. But
that's
it. What it's because, about, though. You know what I mean?
He was competing. He was competing, man.
Yeah. That's what's about those relationships. Like, we played – I played against him so much.
Yeah.
In the Central, you know what I mean? And to be able to get a chance to play together and, become friends and be able to learn from him, it's been a lot of fun, man.
Were there ever any times where you were – you either you asked Carlos something that if he saw anything in your pitching or you picked up on something that CeCe was doing? Did you guys ever have
teammates
those?
A lot?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
All the time. I mean,
I'm always a guy that I like to look at my picture, our stuff.
Yeah.
And I sit down and I put you and I do my preparation like I'm going to face CeCe.
So you do with your own pitchers?
Yes.
Like if you're playing for the Yankees.
You should see this guy on the plane.
Oh man. Yeah.
He'll watch. we'll have a 3-hour flight and he'll watch 3 pitches and he'll have a guy. You know what I'm saying? But he'll just watch it. It's crazy, man. It's crazy what he can pick up.
So if I see something, then, I need to find the right timing to approach the guy. Also say, hey man, how are you doing? How do you feel you feel in the mound, blah, blah, blah. And then we start talking and then, I feel like he's open to listen, then I will approach him and let him know that, okay, this is what I've been watching. You've been doing this. You've been doing that. Here we go. It's right here. It's in the video. Let's go to the video. So, I try to be available for them because I know I'm a hitter, and at the same time, that's why I always encourage pitcher. Talk to the hitters, man. Not only talk to the pitchers because pitcher will give you an insight about pitching. But the hitters will give you an insight about how they're looking at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what you want to also see. Not only okay, I need to approach this guy a certain way. No, how the hitters is seeing me. If I'm throwing my baseball too early, I'm hiding my baseball. Those type of things, those type of information where you could get those from hitters. And that's why, me being a hitter, I know that playing with CeCe or playing with Severino, where early in his career he was sleeping like crazy. Now he's what kind of year he has this year? Amazing year,
Yeah.
And Tanaka, all those guys. So I always try to look at them and as I was gonna face them and see if he could see something.
Something that I learned from him about leadership too is being open and going to players. Like for me, when I was when I first got here and before I started playing with him, I would always just wait till younger guys came to me. But now I understand where you got to sometimes go to them because, you got to bridge that gap. And it's up to the veteran to do that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And sometimes, like you said, the younger guys get nervous and even if it's a, you know, if it's a hitter, if I have something, you know, I don't feel out of place going now, you know, after watching him do his thing with the pitchers, talking to Dylan, different things like that. It makes you just feel more comfortable, and you feel comfortable in that leadership role, being able to go to guys.
So you may see something now in one of your hitters and say, like, hey, Aaron, I'm letting you know, I'm seeing you do this, yada yada, like something
this
like that.
This is different, something different than what you was doing, what you were doing earlier.
Okay, you know, got what I mean? You, yeah. Like, could it be something as simple as like you're dipping your right shoulder a little bit, or your feet aren't as
or
wide,
or just something like you're not as aggressive as you were 2 weeks ago. Okay, you know what I mean? Any little things like that, and I think it helps when you're friends with the guys and you build a relationship, and you know it's not coming from a bad place, and they don't feel like it's coming from a bad place.
Exactly.
You know?
I think the most important thing that I always try to encourage pitcher and try to encourage position players is that, like, talk to somebody when you're doing great.
Yeah.
Let them know how do you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, physically, what are you thinking? Because sometimes, you know, when you get lost in the game of baseball, you don't get lost physically. You get lost mentally.
You lost, too. Like, you're like, what?
You know, mentally, you're
it's
like,
gone.
Wow, I got to play tonight. I mean, I don't even know what the hell is going to happen.
That shit is gone, bro. So, I'm telling you.
But when you share those moments with your friends or somebody that you really, you know, like and want to share that moment, so when you get lost, that person can bring you back and tell you, hey, man, you know, CeCe, I remember that you told me 2 weeks ago that you were feeling this, you know, that you were very aggressive on the mound, that you were challenging the guys, that you were not really caring about who was on the batter box. So I could transfer that information to him, and he could go like, wow, yeah, you're right. I'm not feeling that right now. So that's how you bring yourself back. So the fact that sometimes hitters or pitchers that want to be like, so protective with that moment, but you know that moment don't last long.
Yeah, it don't.
I mean, as a hitter, it only lasts like 2 weeks.
I mean, where you feel great.
Yeah, when you feel like you on top. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know what's, and I think what's got to be so encouraging for guys who you guys have played with is you. I think you both will be in the Hall of Fame. You both have had incredible, consistent careers. CeCe's going into his 18th season. You played 20 years. You had well over 400 home runs. I'm going to get to your postseason numbers at some point because I just got to ask you what goes on mentally. It's Gehrig, Ruth, and Beltran in the postseason, man.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. But, like, so for you guys who, I mean, you've done everything in this game. You won World Series. You've been to multiple All-Star games. If you go through those moments, then everybody's going to go through those moments where you're going up and down in confidence. So I got to imagine if you're going to one of these younger guys and you're saying, hey, this is how you get yourself out of it. They're like, oh, you know, this happens to you too or whatever. They know, okay, all right, you've been there as well. So I'm wondering, when you, Carlos, you find yourself in like some kind of mental rut where you're like, this is like, I can't get out of my own head right now.
Exactly.
What was like a key for you? What was something you would do to get yourself out of it in those moments when you would feel lost?
Well, for me, it was getting back to basics. Like, for example, hitting, see the ball, hit the ball, make sure you see the ball all the way to contact point. Make sure you don't get caught up in the results. Just get caught up in the process. Think about the process. Don't think about the result. Because sometimes when you're struggling, you know, and especially as a hitter, you know, and you got guys on scoring position or guys on base, you're not thinking about, let me get this guy over. You think about how I can get this guy in, mm-hmm. how I can get a hit right here in this situation right here, where now you're not really thinking about the process. You're thinking about the result. Mm-hmm. So now you're skipping the process. So that's the problem. You know, like for me, I try to get back to basics. See the ball, hit the ball. Just try to put a quality at bat. Don't think about, I need to get this guy in. So that type of attitude really helped me to get back into normal, you know, feeling good at the plate.
Yeah.
But if I didn't thought it like that, you know, I could have dragged that bad moment for a month. And I did that very, very well. You know, like as a hitter, you know, like you need to understand also that you're gonna have months where you're gonna hit 220, but those months, they don't gonna define your season.
Mm-hmm.
You have to turn the page. In baseball, you have to always turn the page and find a way to not forget about that night and concentrate on the next night, because the beauty about the game of baseball is that when you're an everyday player, you have an opportunity to do something positive the next day. It could be offensively or defensively.
Has it helped, like, I'm thinking, I love my deep stuff, CC. Like, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, I don't think there's a better sport that could help you with life in that regard. Like, just learn how to turn the page. Like, because you, if you're great, you're failing a ton in this game.
You have to learn how to deal with failure and adversity. I mean, yeah, 1,000% it helps you. And I think the more adversity you go through in life, you can put the bad weeks, 2 weeks, months of baseball in a box and be like, yo, it's not that serious. You know what I mean?
yeah.
When you've been through stuff in your life, or you've been through adversity in the minor leagues, like we all at one point in the minor leagues was like, fuck this, like I'm done. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody at some point in the minor leagues is like, yo, I don't know if I can do this. You know, so I think you have to go through those moments to be able to be great.
Do you remember that moment for you in the minor leagues?
1,000%. I was in Kinston, North Carolina. It was 1999, and I was getting my ass lit up. Like, that Carolina League, I was getting tore up. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I had one good start, and they sent me to Akron, and I kind of just took off from there.
Did you talk to anybody at that period of time that helped
you
get out of it?
No, I didn't have, at that point, I would think I was 19 years old. So, I mean, I was just so young and I had never struggled in baseball. Mm-hmm. I've been through a lot in my life and adversity, dealing with death and things like that. But I had never struggled in baseball. Baseball was always something that I was always great at. You know what I mean? So to be going out and not doing well was tough. It was hard. Actually, my mom, talked to my mom every night that whole season. And she kind of got me through it.
Carlos, do you remember a time in the minors for you where you were like, oh, man, this is not going the way I thought it was going to go?
Well, you know what? After I played my rookie year, I went to Middle A in Michigan. It was very cold. 20 degrees.
As it is in Michigan.
I'm like, what the hell I'm doing here? But you know what? I got injured. I think that really put in perspective, like, how – the game of baseball can change your career. I hurt my knee. I was 1996. And then 1997, I got to play in High A in Wilmington, Delaware.
I was at Carolina League.
The Blue Rocks. And I thought I was like a good prospect, but everybody was a prospect on that league. I was like, wow, this guy's here? Like, so they were good, a real good league. I didn't really do well. The next year, I kind of like played the same league, did okay, and got moved up to Double A. And I went off in Double A. Kind of like I was able to figure out a lot of things. And that year, same year, I ended up in the big leagues. And for me, it was like a dream come true. Never went through my mind that I was going to play that year in the big leagues. I was thinking, you know what? High A, Double A, season is over. I go home, work again, next year job, spring training, try to do better. And the fact that I got to the big league in that year, 1998, I was like, wow, man, this is like it's crazy. But at the end of the day, like for me, the toughest part for a ball player are when you're injured, when you get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But not hurt like for a week, hurt for months. Or you're out. When your heart wants to compete, but your body is not there.
You feel like you're letting guys down.
Horrible, man.
Hard.
You feel like you're in the middle of people. You feel like you feel embarrassed.
You feel
like,
in the way.
Yeah,
like, it's bad.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh. Even though if you're better, and like I don't see when he got hurt like his knee a couple years ago. I know what he's going through. I went through the same. I know that he wants to be in his locker and. But we don't look at him like that. But the way you feel, it's like it's depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's horrible. Like, and those are the moments when you overcome those moments, you kind of like and get back into the game and get back into do what you love to do. Now you're like you appreciate the game more. You kind of appreciate what his craft is.
Yeah.
And being able to feel like that is like that's why like for me in the years that I play the game. And the injuries that I have throughout the game of baseball, it made me stronger. Mm-hmm. Made me a stronger person. That I was able to overcome those moments and show the people and prove people wrong. That told them, oh, Carlos Carrieres is out. It's done. And I said, no, it's not done. I'm a competitor. I'm going to fight and I'm going to get back and I'm going to prove. And thanks God, those moments, those are the moments that kind of like build you. to the person that we are right now.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine going through a period where they're like, oh, you need to rest your voice for 5 months or something like that, man. I'd be like, what? No, like,
no, you know, but you don't know if you're ever going to be able to do what you did before. You know, like, you don't know if you're going to get back to that point. You know,
that's scary, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when you're used to doing it at one level, and now all of a sudden you're just like, I cannot physically do it.
Well, the crazy part for me, and it was in 2010. I was with the Mets. And I'm going through this situation with my knee where it's not getting better, it's not getting healthy, and I'm doing everything in my power to kind of like get back into form. Physically, I was 29 year old, 30 year old. I feel young, I feel strong, but my knees just bother me. And you know, you go into the doctor, and the doctor is telling you, hey, my friend, there's nothing else I can do for you. And I'm like, so what that means?
Yeah.
My career is over. I mean, he didn't want to say it, but he basically said it by telling me that was what he could do for me. There's nothing else I could do for you. So that year, kind of like, you know, we found this doctor. We went have the surgery, kind of got back into the game. And 2010, retired 2017. So for me, if I would have a weak mind,
yeah,
I would have said, wow, okay, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the game of baseball, if you have a weak mind, you're not going to play this game for a long time.
No, you're not.
You need to have a strong mind. You need to, you're going to overcome bad moments. You got to be strong mentally, because, you know, if you're not like that, then your career is not going to last long. So the fact that I was able to overcome those moments, and the fact that I had a strong mind, I told myself, you know what, there's no way.
That's crazy. So you basically had a doctor tell you in 2010, like, sorry, that's
exactly
it.
Wow.
Yeah. That's amazing. Hey, was it weird for you facing Carlos after being teammates? Like this year, I know you guys face each other forever.
Did we face each other this year?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Maybe if I pitched against him during the regular season. I don't remember.
You.
I would have remembered that, though.
Okay.
No, we didn't face each other.
Okay,
no.
Would it have been
I told my manager, don't put me.
No, I wouldn't. Nah, it wouldn't have been weird. I face my friends all the time. You know, I got a lot of my friends are hitters. You know what I'm saying?
And so, you have a lot of friends too.
Yeah,
you know?
I've been in the plant for 18 years, bro. Like, I know everybody.
That's part of it.
Nah, it's always fun for me.
You like facing your friends?
Yeah, and then we'll go to dinner and like talk about the shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's fun for me.
So, I'd be like, so were you guys friends before you became teammates?
We didn't know each other before.
No, we didn't know each other. I mean, I knew who he was.
Yeah.
Obviously, I knew who he was. Yeah, yeah.
And I heard from many guys that play with him. And, you know, sometimes when you play in a different team and you see somebody doing well on the other side, you kind of like – ask some of the guys, hey man, how's this guy?
Oh yeah, you always want to know if your player's a good dude.
Yeah,
you always want to know.
And he's like, no, this guy's the best. This guy's a good guy. Yeah. This guy, you know, and that's how you start like loving people. Like, okay, man, I need to follow this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, I need to, because we're fans. You know, like we're ball players, but we're. I'm a fan, you know. There's a lot of guys in the league that I like. When we're facing them, I love to see them coming to the bat. Like, for example, like, you know, being able to see Josh last year did what he did as a rookie. You know, like, I love to watch Didi Gregorius, you know, play the game, the way he played defense. You know, like, so Severino, even though he's you don't want to face a guy throwing 99, but but when you face a guy and you get to see him, you know, you're like, man, you know, these guys are like the top of the top of the game of baseball, so it's fun every time you get the opportunity to get to meet other people in the game.
You know who that guy is for me? Beltre.
Yeah?
I've never, you know, we've met All-Star games, just said hello, what's up, but, like, I've always admired the way he played the game and just watching him and having fun, and, like, he seems like a fun leader, you know, so I'm always asking, like, I know he's a good guy, you know what I mean, but we, you know, just watching him from afar.
Like, what is it like to play with him? You wonder. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
he's a stud, too.
Yeah,
man.
He is. And he's been for a long time.
He's going into the Hall of Fame, no doubt.
1,000%.
It's amazing. Like, his career, too. Like,
believe it or not, I got to play with the Rangers. So,
For
half a year.
Could thank the Yankees for that.
So,
right?
I got to meet Beltre, and, you know, and I got to see him play and the way he prepared for the game every day. Like, he's a gamer, man. You know, he's a guy that he could be hurt. He doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He wants to show the younger guys the right way, that the right way is to, you need to have respect for the game. You need to have respect for your teammates. And that's something that is has a lot of value in the game of baseball. You know, when you see people grinding, like I know him, when he was going through his knee situation, where he has like, you know, particles of bone floating around his knee, and he's grinding, and he's wearing the brace, he's putting all kinds of ointment, and
I mean, yeah, Yankee fans, y'all can thank Carlos for the brace. That's how I got the brace.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
All right, you got to tell us that story.
Yeah, I mean, the first year he came was the first year. That second half of that year is when I put the brace on.
And that's when you took off, like, because you had a, and we've talked about this before, but like CeCe obviously had a great 2017 and was properly rewarded for 2018. you had a really good 2016, but it started at the end of 2015.
Second half of 15.
When you put on the brace, and it was like, whoa. Like, you found it. So you got the brace from Carlos.
Yeah, same brace that he wears. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it his actual brace?
No. Like, I had to get one made, but it was like the same ACL brace.
My brace.
I don't know how knee braces were. Wait, that makes sense now, actually. You would need a different size brace. That's a good point. Let me tell you, man. That face is looking very chiseled,
vegan, man. 22 days, man.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at your chin jutting out. I'm like, look at that handsome man. Come on, that's man. Great, seriously.
This won't last long, bro.
Once the season starts.
As soon as the season starts.
It's done. But that's crazy. So you got the idea of the brace from Carlos.
Yeah.
Did you just tell him, like, hey, this works for me?
No, he just came to me. He was like, yo. He came to me and was like, yo, this, you know, my knee's probably worse than yours. You know, I'm playing every day, and it's because of this. And, you know, when somebody, a guy like that tells you something, you do it, you know?
It's crazy that I have this conversation with my wife a lot of time. And I say, if somebody want to really take me out of the lineup, all that person need to do is, like, hide my brace. If you steal my brace from my locker,
you can't go.
I can't go. Like, you know, it's so part of my body, like, that I couldn't function without it.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, you know, like, I, for me being able to do all the research that I did when I was going through my knee situation, I found this company, and you know, I tried many braces, and that's why sometimes when the guy who represents the company show up to spring training to get your measurements and things like that, I always tell them, man, you know what? Your brace really, you know, did a big impact in my career. I was able to play because of I wear that
thing. Do you want to give him a shout out for anybody who needs a great knee brace?
whoever needs a knee, I mean, honestly, it's a good company. They're professional. They do it right. And not only that, I mean maybe that worked only for me and for CeCe. I mean, people have different knee situations that you gotta.
Do you know the name of the company who does the brace?
It's CCI, right? I don't know the actual name of it.
Osur has a.
Yes, Stevie calls them.
I don't know.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I use it golfing now and everything.
You know? Do it?
Yeah.
Do you just ever like walk out of the house and put it on?
No.
Only if you're doing something athletic.
Yeah.
All right. For me,
I train without it, just to try to.
Okay.
You know. Strain my legs.
Will you have to have surgery again, you think, on your knee or like a knee replacement or anything? Or?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to think about that. about any other surgeries. I hope no, you know. But you know, my situation with my knee was, you know, bone-on-bone situation. Mm-hmm. Where
we basically got the same thing.
Honestly, yes. Hey, this is a funny story.
Yeah.
I'm doing the physical this year, and I'm in Houston. And Houston called me and said, Carlos, you know, we want you back, blah, blah. I want you to work the younger guys. I want you to help this guy. That guy, I say, okay, no problem. So I go do my physical. And the doctor, he told me, hey, you need to be here like around 7 in the morning. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like, oh, sleepy, 7. You know, I'm not a morning person. So I'm like, sleepy.
No, you're not a morning person. I've seen that act. Like,
horrible. And the doctor said, hey, man, you know what? I want you to do squat with one leg. Try to go all the way down. And I'm like, what are you trying to do?
You want me to pass?
Yeah, you want me to like fail this thing right here, right now? So I try to do it, and my knee pop like when you break a branch, like, and the doctor look at me and goes like, "That's your knee?" I say, "Yes, my knee." And I said, did I pass? and he said, no, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I said, man, I hope I'd be okay after that squat. So anyway, so, you know, teams that took their, you know, made that commitment to sign me, I know that they you know, based on the physical, sometimes teams, they know who they're getting.
Yeah.
Not because of the situation that you have physically, because of the heart, because of the passion, because what you bring also to the clubhouse. You know, I'm glad that the Yankees were able to sign him back, because he's a veteran guy. He's been in big games. He's been through injuries. He's been through a lot of situations in the game of baseball that most of these younger guys hasn't gone through.
Mm.
So he's going to be helpful for them. And, you know, it's good to have a leadership in the clubhouse. Sometimes you cannot really see what the veteran guy really does when it's a guy like Cici Sabathia, who is active, you know, who's also talking to the younger guys, who always, like, for me, I have the respect for him because of starting guys, sometimes, you know, when they don't pitch, they don't do anything. You know, like they're but these guys always in the dugout, always cheering, always there.
Yeah.
So for me to see a guy supporting me the days that he don't pitch, man, when he pitch, I want to bust my ass for this guy.
That's a great point.
I want to bust my ass for him because, you know, when we score, he's the first one there, you know, giving you high five. So that's how you earn respect in the game of baseball. So I have a lot of respect for him, and
thank you.
You know, he knows that, you know, that he's a good leader. You
know?
So he's going to do a great job.
I'm glad he's back, too, because I don't want to be flying all over the country to record. It's nice having our studios here
in New
York. You know, you were talking about Didi before and being a friend.
Yeah.
And last year, you know, when I do games, I'll talk in the clubhouse like I did when you were there and try and, like, get, you know, different stories and that. And I always thought Carlos was one of the more interesting people to talk to. And last year I was talking to Didi before one of the games I was doing, and we were talking about his – ability to hit left-handers now, because now he's become one of the best left-on-left hitters in baseball, whereas, you know, the criticism of him coming into his time with the Yankees was like, well, he can't hit lefties. Now he's hitting 330 against them every year or whatever, right? And sometimes, just from the broadcaster perspective, you want to be careful how you bring those things up, because people are superstitious, and they don't like to necessarily talk about what they're doing well all the time,
exactly.
Right? But I'm fascinated by it, and obviously we have a good relationship, so I go into it, and I'm like, hey, man, how did that happen? And he tells me it started with a conversation with Carlos Beltran. He says, Carlos told me, look, when you are facing a lefty, if there's a breaking ball, any kind of breaking ball, and it looks like it's going to hit you, stay in there, because it's probably going to be over the plate.
Mm.
When you are facing a lefty, this is Didi relating to me what you told him, and you could tell me if this is exactly it, but he said, when you're facing a lefty, and he throws a breaking ball, and it's over the center of the plate, don't swing, because that thing's going to be a ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take that simple approach,
mm-hmm.
you'll always, you know, keep your shoulder in. You'll always be able to stay in and hit lefties. And he said that is what he thinks about now, always hitting lefties. And if he kind of starts to stray a little bit or isn't swinging well against lefties, he reminds himself of that, and that kind of gets him to hit left-handed pitching.
That's true. And the funny part is that, me being a switch hitter,
I never
faced
right on right
so,
on left on
but,
right.
But that was the thing that blew my mind. Is how
Carlos
Beltran's never faced a lefty as a left-handed hitter.
But the thing was that when I was coming off the ball from the left side, I always try to put the slider machine lefty against lefty in the cage.
Really?
Because I wanted to create that sense where I can't come off.
Where you got to hang in.
I need to stay close. I need to stay in that baseball in order for me to hit lefty against lefty. Because if you're hitting lefty, it's like I tell him, you know, like everything that is coming toward you is going to end up in the middle of the heart of the plate. Everything that is in the middle is going to end up going away. So I learned that in the cage. I never faced it and never did it in the game of baseball, like actually facing a lefty. But by doing it so many times in the cage, I learned, and for me, I was able to transfer that information to Didi. He was able to experience it and live it and realize that worked for him. So, but, you know, I never did that in the game. I always did it in the cage just to kind of put myself in a position where, okay, I can't come off of this the way I'm coming off right now if I want to be successful. So let me put the machine lefty against lefty. So, and I did that also righty, yeah, because I wanted to experience that, but at the same time, there was a purpose for me to do that because I wanted to stay close and I wanted to try to hit the ball, drive the ball the other way. So, you know, Didi's a great guy, man. Didi's is a fast learner. I remember that when we first got him spring training, he showed up and he was close to my locker. And the first thing that I said to him, I said, Didi, you know what? I know there's going to be a lot of expectations here, but the most important thing right now for you is to understand that the only shoes that you have to feel are your own shoes. Because there was, you know,
Jeter
leaving.
Yeah, right.
And what Jeter did for this organization, I mean, an amazing player, amazing talent, great person, great friend. And I tell him, the only shoes you have to feel are your own shoes and only worry about that. Forget about everything else. You're not here to replace anyone. You're here to be Didi Gregorius, to play your game, to get better every year. And he took it to his heart, you know. And I
he
got,
literally
I,
got better every
I got,
year.
I got to
every
see him.
Year.
I got to see him, like, really improving. And I was like, wow, man, this guy is, like, making plays, making, you know, like, coming through, lefty, like you said, lefty against lefties in tough situations. So, I mean, very, very proud of him.
He had big home runs,
I mean, he had 20-some homers this year, right?
Yeah, 25, right?
Yeah, 25. Like, come on, man.
I don't know, Carl, Corey, if you could look up exactly. I think it was 25 home runs.
Huh? He makes every play.
Every play, man.
His defense
every play.
In October was unbelievable.
He makes every play, man.
Oh, crazy. Now, if I remember right, your locker was placed next to Judge in 2016. Is that right?
Spring training, yes.
In spring training, yeah. And I remember him talking about, you know, sort of similarly to how he talked about his relationship with Matt Holliday this year a little bit, right? Like, he seems like one of those guys who's thirsty to learn. At least that's the way it appears.
No, he is.
Well, yeah, he is.
What, he's humble, man.
Yeah.
He's a great human being.
Yeah, he is.
He's a great human being. I'm honestly, I know the guy that I'm very proud of is him. The way he handled everything. I mean, he's real.
Yeah.
He's a real person. I mean, he's not for the cameras. That's his soul. His soul is a good soul, and he cares about his teammates. He cares about winning. He cares about being a good person. He cares about representing the organization the right way. So, yes, I mean, spring training, I asked Joe Girardi. I say, if you have somebody, younger guy, that you think I can help in the time that I'm going to be here. Because I understand the game of baseball, you know, that you play with an organization, and, and sometimes, you might not go back.
Yeah.
So Joe say, okay, I'm going to put Josh next to you. And Josh, you know, was super humble, very kind, you know, like soft-spoken, always ask you good questions. And he wants to learn. He wanted to learn. You know, he understood that he had an ability and a talent that he could do what he did last year. He was having difficulties, you know, early in his career with his swing mechanics. He found somebody that helped him out, and I mean, what he did was incredible.
Did you think he could turn into what he was last year, observing him?
Yeah. He's gonna be a consistent player. I mean, that's you don't do that by luck. You don't hit 50 by luck.
No.
You hit 50 because you have an ability. You have talent. You know, he went through a bad stretch, and he will learn from that. He will learn from that bad stretch that he went through. That probably he was able to. When he was going through that moment, he kind of like wanted to do more. And you have to understand the less in baseball is more.
Mm.
You know, and I think this year is going to be great, not only with him, with Stanton.
You know, I think it's going to go off Sanchez.
Sanchez is the best hitter.
He's the best hitter we got.
Yeah, to me.
I feel this way too. Like,
to me, he
watching.
Is.
And sometimes overlooked.
I think sometimes he get caught up in the homers.
Yeah.
He get caught up in that. And I wish he didn't get caught up in hitting homers.
Yeah.
If he get caught up in doing what he did in the minor leagues, being a consistent hitter, hitting the ball to right field when he have to, pulling the ball when he's been pitching inside, and hit the homers, you know, when somebody leave the ball right down the middle, and understanding that his role basically will be a good defender. Because hitting is there for him.
He's going to always hit.
Yeah, he's going to hit.
You know what I like about defensively, though, everybody talks about? He works at it, though.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he doesn't work at it. You know, like trying to get better.
He's a big body.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
I mean, if you get to see Chance Sanchez from, I mean,
up close.
He's a big
He's huge. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, so for me, if I'm the Yankees, you know what I would do? Try to put him in contact with Posada.
Yeah.
Posada was a big dude. So how Posada was able to manage his body to be consistent defender guy, you know, like bring him to spring training, make him work with him. You know, they both speak Spanish. They will, you know, like Sanchez is a Latino, Posada, like put those guys together. Let them create a relationship where they could work day in. And they don't have to be in the same team, you know, but by you making that bridge of connection, now Sanchez will feel, okay, I can call Posada anytime I feel like I'm off defensively.
Yeah.
You know, now you establish that relationship. That's the beauty about the Yankees, man. The Yankees have so many resources.
It's true. So many great players that really want to come back and help.
Out in the organization that you could establish those relationships with guys. You know, like I see you, but Montgomery, the lefty, the new lefty, has you. But also Petty.
Yeah. So it's like a straight line.
Yeah, right.
Guidry, you know what I mean? Ron Guidry had Andy, me. You know what I mean?
Like, that's so
like
cool. Yeah.
It's a straight line. Yeah, it's dope.
You guys can all help each other.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. I remember you telling me when the Yankees managerial job was open and Carlos was retiring, hey, he would be great right now. There weren't many people who got interviews to be Yankees manager. The Yankees thought so highly of you that right fresh out of retirement, you were one of those people who got an interview. I mean, it's easy. You talk to Carlos, you could tell. This dude knows, I mean, more baseball than anyone you could imagine. Obviously, you could have handled. But what was that experience like?
It was great, man. It was a great experience. Honestly, I have a lot of respect for the organization. I have a lot of respect for Cashman. The fact that, like you said, I just retired from the game and I got the call to be interviewed. I felt in my heart that, you know, I give them everything I had. They understand. They know that I have a passion for the game of baseball. But at the same time, I understand it's business, you know. So they felt that, you know, Boone was the best candidate. And I wish Boone the best also. I think he has a great team, a great opportunity. You know, I couldn't say no to that opportunity because, you know, like, those type of jobs don't come very often.
Right. Like, were you ready for it yet? Would you have preferred lag time?
Honestly speaking, that was something that I wanted to do, but I didn't thought it was going to be that fast for me to interview. So I didn't really was, like,
super prepared.
I went there, like naked. You know? You want to talk baseball? Let's talk baseball. Yeah. Okay, how do you handle this situation? I handle it that way.
Yeah.
How would you think players will see you? You being just retired from the game, being able to play with them, do you think they will respect you?
But honestly, I mean, he didn't need to be super prepared because he talks, like, we go to dinner after, we went to dinner after the games basically every night.
Yeah.
And he was already a manager, you know what I mean? Like, already thinking as a manager. So I knew when he had an interview, like, you know, he would be great at it. Because
no, I really enjoy
he's
it,
all, he's always been that. It's natural, you know what I mean?
So do you, you went through the process. Do you think, because I know, I remember reading some comments too where you were like, hey, you know, you might want to be involved in some way.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll be involved with the Yankees in some way this year or somewhere else? Or?
Well, I got the call after, you know, when Cashman ended up hiring Boone, like 2 weeks after he called me and said, Carlos, we would love to have you, you know, with us, you know. And honestly, after retiring from the game of baseball and being able to play 20 years, I told him, I was honest with them. I say, I wanted to take a break. I wanted to really take a full year off.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the future, yeah, I mean, I cannot. I don't want to say that I don't want to be back in the game. I feel like I have a lot to contribute. I love the game. The only thing that I wasn't loving anymore was the preparation to play the game. But I love to be around the guys, to share the knowledge, to see the guys grinding. I love that because that's the beauty about the game of baseball. So I feel that, you know, I can help an organization. You know, when next year come, then yeah, we probably need to talk again and have a discussion and see what I want to do. Also, I don't know if I want to get back straight from retirement to
162. Right.
You know, maybe I wanted to have an opportunity where I'm around the guys and get the opportunity to visit the minor league guys a little bit and
go to spring training.
Training, have fun and wet my feet a little bit. But I mean, I believe right now that the way that the Yankees fans have to feel is it's got to be amazing.
Oh,
with all the talent and I mean, it's a great team. It's going to be excitement going on. I mean, with Josh, with I mean, Sanchez, Severino, and everybody. I mean, it's a good team. It's a good team. So I'm very happy that, you know, the Yankees are in this position.
You guys going to be facing each other in Old Timers Day someday?
Oh, because... someday for sure.
I know you just can't wait to hit in Old Timers right? Day, man. You might, you know what? You might be able to go yard. Like,
oh, no.
You, like,
what?
I mean, what?
Able? Like, what is he talking, what are you talking about?
He did it in the games. Oh, no. Real games.
He has. Well, let me rephrase a little bit. What I mean is, like, you. I feel like you at, let's say you're 37 now.
Yeah.
Let's say your first old-timers game is when you're 40, all right? Let's be ambiguous enough for how many more years you play, okay? Your first old-timers day game, it's your 40? I feel like you got home run pop at 40,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, still,
like,
for sure.
No yeah. doubt. Yeah, and yeah. Forget it. He's going to be going second deck if he plays anytime soon, man.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
So when you guys face each other, your teams face each other in the ALCS. Now, I remember walking, not to bring up a bad memory for CeCe, but I remember walking out of game five, and I went as a fan to that game. I hadn't been to a Yankee playoff game as a fan in like 11 years or something like that. Not that I remember the exact date. And I loved it. And the atmosphere was great. And I remember reading the comments from your teammates on the Astros.
Yeah.
And they were all like, that's the loudest we've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Like, almost seemed like shell-shocked.
Yeah.
And I remember walking out of there thinking like, yo, the Yankees are winning this series. Like, yeah. Did you feel like after those games that you guys were going to come back? Or did you feel like, uh-oh, this is not going to happen?
Well, you know what? When we play in Houston and we win the first two games and then now we come to New York, we're expecting that New York was going to play battle for sure. I mean, but at least we were hoping to take one out of those three games. And you know, they basically outplay us, you know. They play better than us. They pitch better than us. And something that happens after that game five was that when the game was over, I go in the clubhouse. And normally, as a veteran guy, I'm not a guy that I like to call meetings and things like that. Mm. But that day, I felt like I have to, because there are times in the game of baseball where you get swept by a team. And when you see people facing the inside part of the clubhouse, then you know that everything is fine. But when you see people facing their lockers, everybody facing the lockers, they're looking at the lockers. We're not seeing each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody is showing her backs. So I'm like, this is not right. So I call a meeting and I say a few words, encouragement.
This is right after game
right
five.
Right after game five. And I told the guys, I said, guys, you know what? We did what was supposed to do for us at home. They did what it was supposed to do for them in order to survive the series. So now we're going to go home, and we're going to finish them up over there. So there's nothing to worry. At home we feel comfortable. At home we feel confident. It's our environment, and we believe in ourselves. So let's turn the page and move on. And everybody kind of like got up and took a shower and it was simple, but at the same time it was something that it needed to be done, you know. And I asked permission to the manager. I said, are you gonna call a meeting or something? He said, no, I'm not gonna talk. So I said, okay, I'm gonna call a meeting and say a few words. And you know, thanks God we were able to do that. But at the end of the day, that's what veteran guys. I know he would do that, and I know he have done it. You know, where you have to stand up and say a few things, you know, because when things are playing okay or playing good, you know, you don't need a lot of encouragement. But when you're going through a tough time as a team, yeah, you need somebody to stand up and say something. And not always have to be the veteran guy. It could be
a younger guy, you feel even better.
Yeah. A younger guy, everyday guy, get up and say a few words and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Hey, man, come on. We have to be able to play better baseball. We're right now we suck and this can't happen. So that was something that is important.
Can you remember you doing it?
Grady Sizemore was that guy. When I was in Cleveland, me and Victor and Pronk were kind of the leaders at that time. But he would get up immediately and like say what he needed to say and like be dead serious. You know, like he was a young guy that was like a leader right away. And like we all respected it. You know, we all like we loved when he got up and got fired up because he was our lead. Like he lead it all. He played center field. Like he was our guy. And for him to have that be comfortable already, like and take on that role was like great for us.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah.
No.
And it's only a special guy can do that. You know what I mean? Like not everybody can do that.
Yeah. I bet you CC wishes you hadn't given that speech at the end of Game 5, Carlos.
I was gonna say that series, like when we came home, that was Yankee Stadium though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just that energy, and we can feel that they didn't want to be there. You know what I mean? Like
we could tell, right?
Honestly, we knew 1,000%. Like we could feel that.
I didn't really play much in that series, but I'm watching the guys talking in the clubhouse, and guys are like, "Oh, it's cold outside." I'm like, "What are you talking about, brother? This is a playoff. what do you expect? You know, like you expect like this is a playoff. This is no time to worry about cold. This is no time to worry about nothing. It's time to play baseball. Mm-hmm. It's time to win and move up to the next series.
Keep going.
So and they're like they're complaining. You know, like they're complaining about little stuff, stupid stuff. And I knew from that point that. Man, this is not right. You know, this is not right. And the fans, they did put a lot of pressure.
That shit was
they
crazy, put a lot of pressure.
It
was
loud.
It was crazy.
It was fun. I mean, the ways that you guys came back from that game where you
game
know
four,
we
yeah.
took the lead.
Yeah.
And Josh hit the line drive over the left field. You know.
And then Sanchez hit the double.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I man. Mean, that was like incredible. I mean, it was an incredible feeling. Honestly, I was on the other side and I was like, man, this is baseball.
But
this
being on the other side, too, like, and being in Yankee Stadium and playoff games, you like, these people are crazy. Like, I'm ready to get out of here. Like, you feel like people are jumping all over each other. Like,
when,
that's
when you
real.
Were being, like,
yeah,
Indians,
when I was, yeah, I was with the Indians. Like, you feel like that's real. Like, you're like, let's go back home. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
Dude, it felt like that. Like, where you see the arms going up and down like crazy. Like, I even... What was cool to me is that, you know, this year they did the white stripes thing. Sometimes the bleacher creatures would start with the oh, right? And it was after Judge hit the home run against, like, McCullers, I think, in
center
that
field,
game.
Yeah.
And it was 4-1 at the time. And then there was a pitching change. I think that was it. He gave him the home run. There was a pitching change. And during that pitching change, they're doing it. And I'm like... Yo, like it's 4-1. It's not like 4-4 yet, and the crowd was that into it, so you knew. Like, wow, it's ridiculous.
Incredible.
So you bring up October. So we got to bring up this because we alluded to it before, but we're sitting next to October royalty when it comes to just like numbers. Now, you have over 1,500 ribbies in your career, over 430 home runs. You're a career 837 OPS, which for those who don't know, on base plus slugging percentage. Anything over 800 is excellent. Your OPS in the postseason, 837, that's a Hall of Fame OPS. Your OPS in the postseason is over 1,000. When you talk about guys who've had a significant amount of games to qualify, it literally is Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and you. So it's enough of a sample size where that's not like some weird aberration. Like there's something about that time of year where you have always been clutch. What is it? Like, what made you clutch?
Well, for me, I think my personality, who I am as a player. I've always been a calm person, you know, and sometimes when you're playing playoff games, you could get caught up in a lot of stuff. You know, your mind could play you a lot of games. And the atmosphere could make you go out there and try to do things that you have never done before. You know, so for me, I'm always been in control type of person, in control type of player. I never show a lot of emotions. That was who I was in my career. And I think being able to manage my emotions in those type of moments really allowed me to concentrate and basically don't get caught up in, okay, I need to do this here. I need to try to hit a homer here. So first of all, when I got traded from Kansas City to Houston that year, 2004, I didn't know what playoff games were. I mean, I remember my first game. I'm sitting in my locker. I see guys like anxious, nervous, and I'm like this, like in my locker, waiting for the game to start. Like I'm like I don't know. So I'm out. I play the game. I hit a homer, and I hit. You know, I had a great series, and for me. It was incredible that I have that type of series in October. But as a player, you always get a week or two during the season where that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened to me, for me to be in that moment where I kind of like got to experience that. And, you know, every time that I got to play in October, I guess I was in that rhythm where I felt good at the plate. I was able to see the ball good, try to go with the pitch, don't try to do nothing extra that I have done in the past. So I think my personality, the way that I was able to control my emotions, it really helped me out and to feel confident and feel comfortable in those type of moments. So that's the only way that I can attribute, you know, that success.
You know, you talk about that a little bit sometimes too, how early in your career you get too amped up the postseason.
Yeah,
now you're like...
Yeah, he's in control, man.
And the numbers kind of bear that out. Your postseason numbers with the Yankees have been unbelievable.
As opposed to Indians early, where I just wanted to do everything. You know what I mean? I wanted to be the reason why we won. Mm. And I would always end up being the reason why we lost.
I mean, I see that a lot. A lot of guys that are able, like Mariano.
Yeah.
Jeter.
Yeah.
Level.
But Jeter all the time.
Yeah.
Whenever there's a big moment, he's going to come through. You know what I mean? Level. Like, that was incredible.
Carlos, this was fantastic. We're going to have to get, everyone has to run, but we're going to have to get you back again sometime because I need a detailed dissertation on picking up the tipping of pitches and sign stealing, all right?
Let's do a workshop.
This is the master,
let's
for sure.
Let's do a workshop. I love it. Thanks, Carlos.
No, thank you for having me. Thanks. Appreciate it. Good work, bro. Thank you, bro. I love you. Wish you the best this year, brother.
Thank you.
ThePlayersTribune.com